Hi, this is Lindsay Miller, and you're listening to the Arkansas Times Week in Review podcast on Friday, September 14th. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about the latest court hearings in the sprawling public corruption case that's rocked Arkansas politics, various educational dealings, including a change in Arkansas Governor School and discussion on the return of local control for the Little Rock School District, and government transformation. I'm joined as usual by Max Brantley.
Hello.
So this week, former state representative Micah Neal received a probationary sentence. Somewhat surprisingly, that is includes one year of home confinement. He got that because what U.S. District Judge Timothy Brooks called an unprecedented unprecedented reduction in sentencing guidelines for being so cooperative.
Yeah, I mean, it did send that message that get to the courthouse quick if it looks like you're in trouble. You know, there's one small piece missing on Micah Neal, which is, did he just volunteer him? Did he know he was under investigation when he said, yeah, I'll tell you everything? Or did he just get a guilty conscience? Surely not. Surely he just didn't get a guilty conscience and decide to rat himself out. I don't know, but in any event, he was an early guilty plea. He apparently cooperated to the maximum. He volunteered to take people for the government. They didn't take him up on it. He was the key witness in a trial of John Woods, who's the mastermind of the kickback scheme involving money to Ecclesia College and other places. And then also Randall Shelton, the middleman who passed the money from the president of the college, Orrin Paris, back to the legislators. And even he was surprised, it sounded like. He told one reporter, it was a pipe dream that I wouldn't get prison time. And, you know, I think I might fly-spec the judge a little. I think a little crossbar hotel time would have been appropriate here. Because he sought the money out. He said, hey, John, how can I get some money like you're stealing? And John said, okay, I'll cut you in too. And as the judge noted in John Woods, after one deal fell through, they restole the money and gave it to somebody else, which they still got kickbacks from. He was, he was getting divorced. He was overextended. He pulled some funny business to run for county judge briefly in Fayetteville by claiming he had a rent house. In any event, I wouldn't have mind seeing him getting a few days in jail, but this is what you do. And at home confinement, he can only go to work and church and the doctor, and so it's, you know, it's not an ideal thing, but it beats the heck out of a federal prison.
Yeah, in all of this, it's an interesting window to how people are terrible with money. I mean, he was pulling in $100,000 from his family's business a year.
Plus $60,000 worth of legislative pay and per diem, a third of which isn't taxed. And I mean, I don't know this, but he strikes me as the kind of guy that might, at a business that has a lot of cash income, might not report it all to the government. So that's
not very charitable.
That's not charitable, and I'm just speculating here. I'm not asserting that, but, you know, he didn't exactly live a highly moral life.
Meanwhile, former Ecclesia College President Orrin Paris III got 3 years for his role.
Yeah, and he also had, at the last minute, pleaded guilty. He didn't testify in the trial, but I think the fact that he split off from his defendants certainly lifted the government's case somewhat. I mean, here was a man of the cloth, after all, a good preacher, a Christian of the highest moral standing, who admitted he'd done the crime, and he got some. He could have had a stiffer sentence, but he only got 3 years. He'll serve most of it, and he's asked to be sentenced to prison near his home in Texas. We shall see. But yeah, 3 years. That's real time. I mean, that's payment.
Meanwhile, the Democrat Gazette today reported that the Department of Finance and Administration had asked Leslie Routledge to try to recover some of the general improvement funds directed toward Ecclesia.
Yeah, and I've concluded uncharitably again that this is just some rear covering by Asa Hutchinson's administration. This questionable spending, not the kickbacks, but the questionable spending, was uncovered in an audit in 2014. This is 4 years old now. And for that matter, Micah Neal's guilty plea, which we knew we were talking about serious corruption, was 2 years ago. And to date, this is the first sign that anybody in the government wanted to do anything about it. And you have to remember, Asa Hutchinson threw a fundraiser for John Woods shortly before he quit running for office because he was about to be indicted. All of the Republican Party insider legislators in Northwest Arkansas were in on the scheme to funnel a bunch of money to the college. Not only Woods and Neal, as far as we know, got kickbacks, but other people like Bob Ballinger profited off land deals that were paid for by money sent up there by the state. He's a state representative. His law partner is the attorney for the college and for the crooked president. There's just, you know, this thing has stunk for years. And just today they decide they're going to try and get their money back. They say, well, until we had the convictions. Well, that's baloney. I mean, this money, first of all, was unconstitutional in the first place. I mean, that was later established in a lawsuit. This was money that shouldn't have been given, kickbacks or no kickbacks. And then we knew pretty conclusively that it was done crookedly besides, and nothing happens till now. It's just covering themselves, I think.
Okay, let's move on. There was lots doing at yesterday's State Board of Education meeting. The state took the Pine Bluff School District over, approved the committee's recommendation to move Arkansas Governor's School from Hendricks to Arkansas Tech, and discuss the timetable for returning Little Rock to local control.
Right, and you know, it was just kind of overlooked by everybody else, this brief question and answer session that Commission Chairman Jay Barth had with a department attorney about saying, well, you know, time is rolling on. What about, you know, the statute says Little Rock gets its school district back after 5 years unless there's a determination that something else has to be done. And the attorney for the department said, yes, that's true. And the timeline is, there's no question about it, that there has to be an election in November of 2019, which means that's a process that has to begin with announcement of elections and announcement of dates for filing and what have you by June of next year, 10 months, 9 months from now. So we're that close to that. Now, this doesn't solve many Little Rock School District problems. I mean, I want local control of the district back, but it's having sinking attendance, and more is going to sink next year with the opening of at least one more charter school. The same forces that wish the district ill are pushing hard on it. In some respects, I'm not so sure Johnny Key doesn't want to get rid of the Little Rock District is his responsibility, because he hadn't produced any greater results than anybody else has in some of the low-income, high-minority, non-English-speaking parts of town. So, but in any event, that's on the schedule, and I think that's a good thing. The legislature could still mess with this. They could still pass a legislation that allowed instant charterization of the entire school district as they once wanted to do. There any number of things could happen, but at this moment, we seem to have a clear path to Little Rock school election. I thought in some ways, a more interesting discussion and outcome was the decision on governor's school. Although I think that is an issue that is probably a narrow caste issue among the educational elites of Arkansas who send their kids there. But it was an interesting thing. Governor's school was established 38 years ago as a 6-week summer residential program for gifted and talented students, and the selection process is very, very well thought out and very intensive. And they look, you know, not only for kids with high test scores, but for kids with abilities, and perhaps abilities are being overlooked, particularly in some of the small rural school districts that don't have the kind of course offerings that the big districts have. And I think it's been wildly successful among the kids who've gone. Some exceptions, I'm sure, but virtually everybody I know who's been thought it was a wonderful experience, life-changing for some kids, I think. I think it's a sort of an intellectual exercise that promotes broad, free thinking and new ways of looking at things. Well, it's always had its critics because there are a lot of liberals up there that teach, and They talk about some subjects, whether it be sex or controversial economic or political theory, that you know, there's a group of people in Arkansas that don't think you should expose children to those kind of thoughts, that they only should be taught from the New Testament, I guess. And so that's always been behind it, and they had a real foe in Mark Lowry, and he said last year that there were going to be changes coming in this process, and indeed there was, and they had a selection committee which looked at proposals from UCA, Hendricks, and Arkansas Tech, and initially on a total point score basis picked Hendricks, but there was a kind of a weird outlier of an individual score, and they had a reconvening of the committee, and there was a vote of the committee that ended up being 9-4, I think, in favor of Arkansas Tech. The committee was chosen by Johnny Key. It reflected in many ways the Republican political outlook of the guy who runs the department, Johnny Key, and his boss, Asa Hutchinson. I think it was cooked from the start to change hands. And I think that it's really important to see what happened as Tech won with a proposal that emphasizes computers, which just coincidentally happens to be Asa Hutchinson's great love. It shortens the program by 2 weeks, from 6 weeks to 4, which the people who founded the program say is not a good idea. It's not enough time. It's been altered in a way to try and deal with athletic seasons, and it's going to be on a campus that has students on it during the summer, which Hendricks did not. I think there's a great fear that the curriculum is going to change and is going to no longer encourage the kind of just intellectual inquiry that was encouraged there before. I think the great likelihood is it's going to become a STEM summer camp, and we have a lot of those already, and I don't know that we need more STEM summer camps. I don't think Russellville is as good a location as Conway was, and I think this is going to be the beginning of the end of Governor's School. I hope I'm wrong about that, but you know, they presented a petition with 2,800 names of Governor's School alumni against the change. They heard from people like Bruce Haggard, who led the program for 17 years, and said how bad an idea this was and why it was. But the State Board of Education acted as if it had no choice but to take the committee's recommendation, and it was a 5-2 vote, and it was really kind of sad. It was there wasn't a real hearing about it. It was a done deal. It was cooked from the outset.
Anything to say about taking over the Pine Bluff district?
Well, it was a mess. It was not a surprise. They've been in fiscal trouble for months. They bought out their superintendent. Everybody's feuding down there. Does anything work right in Pine Bluff? I mean, there's been talk of combining them with some other school districts. I'm not sure the other school districts want them, to tell you the truth, but they now will see if the state can right their course. They're going to remain a district with a high percentage of poor students and a high percentage of minorities and a history of administrative difficulties. So it'll be a lot. Again, some local business leaders, as happened in Little Rock, stood up and urged the takeover by the state. And, you know, that's...
business leaders in Pine Bluff.
In Pine Bluff, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, similar as happened in Little Rock, and you know, that's not exactly a vote of confidence in your local institutions.
Right. Speaking of institutions, Governor Hutchinson's government transportation plan is starting to take shape.
Transformation.
No, I said transportation. the Democrat Gazette reported on the governor's plans to rejoin the Department of Correction with the Department of Community Correction, and you've reported there's much more to come.
Right. I mean, there's been a lot of words going around, and I've confirmed sort of some general outlines of it, and I've made some requests for information that I hope ultimately will produce some specifics. But it seems pretty clear that, and the governor in mentioning the Correction Department combination, which we talked about several months ago, said he has broader plans in mind and hopes to announce them within about a month. But he wants to reduce the number of so-called cabinet-level departments that report to him. And, you know, I happen to think that, you know, there are all kinds of ways you can arrange your deck chairs and you can have fewer departments, but that doesn't mean you have a more efficient government. But that's going to be his pitch. I think he's going to make this a campaign issue, that he's going to transform and streamline government. Well, what he's going to do is add a new layer of bureaucracy. We're going to have some new six-figure, and I mean high six-figure salaries, of people presiding over agencies that combine multiple current departments under one department head. That new boss is going to have a secretary and a flak and a body man and a driver with an SUV and a sidearm if he's like Leslie Rutledge. And so and you're still going to have all the existing divisions. He's not going to put any of them out of business. And if they do save money, it'll be by some $300,000 a year bureaucrat saying we can get by with fewer parole officers, which was the reason Sheila Sharp got fired at Community Correction, is Hutchinson said, I want these agencies to spend less money. And she said, we don't have enough parole and probation officers. We just don't have enough to handle the caseload. And so maybe we'll get, you know, departments that lay off groundskeepers at the state park golf courses. But in any event, the two big shapes that I've heard about is one, to combine the Arkansas Economic Development Commission with the State Parks and Tourism Department and the Department of Arkansas Heritage, I guess under the general theory that these kind of are all about business-producing agencies, tourism being a very big business in Arkansas. It makes no sense to me. Unless you think that there's somebody eyeballing that giant pot of advertising money that's spent by Parks and Tourism promoting state tourism. And the idea that seems to be that AEDC, which is headed by a favorite son of Asa Hutchinson's, Mike Preston, somehow become the mega agency for overlooking economic development, including tourism in Arkansas. If it puts Stacy Hirsch at the Department of Heritage in a lesser role, that would be one positive benefit, I must say. The other one I've heard about is a Department of Homeland Security. You know, Republicans just love that term, Homeland Security, and perhaps other states have done this. And you take the state police and Department of Emergency Management and perhaps the Drug Czar and some other law enforcement and related things and put them under one leader. Again, it's a great job to hire company. Maybe the National Guard even, I don't know, and bring in some generalissimo fellow and pay him $250,000 a year to be the protector of the homeland of Arkansas. Maybe they could build some walls at West Memphis or something, I don't know.
Where does one apply?
Yeah, I just want one of those big jobs. I want a big desk.
I need a driver.
We got to mention Leslie Rutledge's driver. The Democrats are getting on her today, and Democrat Gazette had a story about it this morning. She's the state police now has sworn law officers, and some of them work in cyber crimes, but she's taken to traveling with entourages to national political events. Took as many as three people, I think, to the Republican National Convention. She said because her experts said, oh, there's great personal danger up there with all these liberals protesting around and what have you. But spent $10,000 to go to the Trump inaugural and a couple of national political conventions and charge taxpayers for a pair of binoculars so she could see Donald Trump better. I don't know. I mean, it to me, it is the kind of thing that you can score a few points on somebody. It's just wasting of public money on silly crap. And this is pretty much the epitome of wasting money on silly crap.
Yeah, no doubt.
And these guys, should they drive around these big black SUVs and they're all carrying guns and... And the one I loved is that they said they had to send two cars to Ohio, and then they had somebody out. How did they put it? It was an advanced man out there gathering intel on the front end, gathering intel on the one-way streets of Cleveland or something. I don't know. Anyway.
All right, let's leave it there and move on to endorsements. What do you got this week?
I got nothing.
Okay, well, I'll
think about it for a second.
I'll carry the weight, and you can think about it. I will endorse a book I just finished by Marlon James. He's a Jamaican writer. It's called A Brief History of Seven Killings. It's quite long, maybe 750-800 pages. It is a fictionalized telling, slight imagining, although I've read that it's fairly on point, of the assassination attempt on Bob Marley in 1976. But it's all wrapped up in Jamaican politics, corrupt politics, CIA, Jamaican movement into Miami and New York and the drug trade. Somebody's compared it to The Wire. It has that kind of feel. There are probably 30 different characters, and it takes until about page 500 to really get everybody straight. But the Jamaican patois can be hard to get through. But it was in the end, a really fun, compelling book that, you know, if you're interested in that.
I would be, except I read two mysteries this week, and both of them, after about 40 pages, I realized I'd read them before, but I couldn't remember what happened, so I went ahead and read them again anyway.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but you know, it was not literature. I mean, it was just junk. But I thought, I only need two books. I could probably wait a week and read these two again.
There you go. Okay, well, thanks for listening. Subscribe via iTunes. We're also on Spotify. Give us a rating and review. And check out our other podcasts. Go to arktimes.com/podcasts. See you next time.
See you around.